Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. During Lent, as Mr. Justin was just talking about with the kids, we focused upon how God's story has impacted our stories. And now during this season of Easter, we're focusing upon how we tell those stories about how God's story has impacted our stories to other people. And last week, we heard a powerful testimony. I didn't preach. You were all disappointed. But you were rewarded by hearing a powerful testimony from Cherie Hubbs, who shared from her story about how God was present during the difficult times of her life and how God was present during the joyful times of her life. Thank you again for sharing with us, Cherie. And during our weekly Hump Day Hallelujahs, we've been hearing from other people in this community who have shared much more briefly about how their stories have been impacted by God's story. This morning we heard another story. It was a long story. Kay, thank you for reading it aloud for us. The story of Stephen. The story of how God impacted Stephen's life and ultimately his death. Now, Stephen's story is a story that also is about food service, which reminds me of my story, because I worked in food service. I worked to ensure that people got fed. It wasn't widows per se, but students on college campuses. We worked hard to make sure they all got fed. Now, the story in our reading this morning begins with a conflict, as a lot of, you know, it's a good stories begin, right, with some conflict that needs to be resolved. And in this instance, it's conflict between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. And simply put, the Hellenists were Greek-speaking Jews who had become Christians. Or said another way, they were Jewish Christians who spoke Greek because they had at some time been part of the diaspora. They had not spent all of their life in Jerusalem, so they'd gone out and learned another language because they had lived in another culture. And they are in conflict with the Hebrew-speaking Jews who've become Christians. And those are the folks who stayed in Jerusalem throughout, so they spoke Hebrew, which is a language, the original language, or the language that the Jewish folks held on to. So now you've got Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christians and Greek-speaking Jewish Christians who are trying to be a church together, and believe it or not, there was conflict. Hard to imagine. It would never happen today. Well, the Hellenists thought that the Greek-speaking widows, the folks who were like them, that their widows were not being served with the food or enough food that was being distributed. They thought they were being, you know, kind of left out, and they weren't getting their due. Now, that is a story that is told over and over. If I didn't hear that, I heard that story 1,000 times if I heard it once when I was in food service management. When I worked at UC Santa Cruz, we had 6 kitchens on campus with 9 dining rooms. And the students who lived on the west side of campus thought the food was better on the east side. Why can't we have the food they're getting? Students on the east side thought it was better on the west side. Same menu, same recipes, same distributors, but we have a tendency to think somebody else is getting better than we are getting. And perception is reality. So the 12 apostles called the entire community together and they presented a solution. They decided that they should assign some experts to the managing of the serving of the food. Now, as a former contract food service manager, it makes sense to me. You'd call in the experts to serve the food, right? That's what I did for a living. The company I worked for was hired by other companies who actually needed to focus on their primary business. They would hire us to provide food for the students or the patients or the residents or the employees, so they didn't have to be bothered with it. And that's essentially what's happening in this story. So the apostles, who are the 12, identify 7 men to be in charge of the distribution of food. And that allowed the apostles, the 12, to focus upon the word of God, God's story. Now, our reading continues by focusing upon one of the seven, Stephen. He's the first one who is mentioned in the list of seven, and the only one who is described as being a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered the seven men who had been set aside for the serving of the people, for serving them food. They gathered them together, and they laid hands on them, and they prayed for them, as they do all food service managers everywhere you go. In 15 years of contract food service management, it never happened to me once. And then we read that the word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Things were going pretty well in the early church, and the story of God's love was being heard, and people were responding. Then Stephen becomes the main character of the story. We read that even though he had been set aside for to manage the distribution of the food, we read that he was full of grace and power, and he did many great wonders and signs among the people. Now, I suspect that the great wonders and signs that he did among the people had little to do with his food service management skills. I don't think Luke is writing here about Stephen's ability to write a great menu or to work a 10-key or read a P&L. I think perhaps these wonders and signs would have been teaching and preaching the word of God and perhaps even healing. But that isn't what Stephen was set aside to do, was it? He was set aside to manage the distribution of the food. And yet Stephen is the one who is being described as having these special gifts, signs, and wonders among the people. Did Stephen not realize what he was supposed to be doing was just the distribution of food? Did he not realize that he had been set aside for that and the apostles were the ones who were supposed to preach the word? Stay in your lane, Stephen. This isn't what you were called to do. But perhaps that's the story or the point of this story, and even Stephen's ministry in life. Perhaps it's that all of us are called to do great wonders and signs among the people, regardless of what our vocation might happen to be. Having been a server of tables myself, and now being one who is called to focus more specifically upon God's word, I know firsthand that the obligation to share God's story is the same in both vocations. I am no more obligated to share God's story as a pastor than I was as a food service manager, because I in both am a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. And as such, I am called to share God's story. Sure, now I get paid to do it. I get paid to come to church. Most of you come for free. But even when I was working 60 hours a week in food service management, I was still called to share my story about how God's story had impacted my life. Now, I don't think I ever did anything that I would consider to be a great wonder or sign among the people. But I hope that people noticed my faith, even though I was working in a secular work environment. It may not have been in big and grand ways that would have caught the attention of the authorities like Stephen did. But those who knew me knew that I was a person, I am a person of faith, that we, Robin and I and our family, are very involved in the church. Martin Luther has something to say about this concept of vocation. He taught and wrote about it. He suggested our vocation is not our job. Vocation is not what we do for a living as Christians. Our vocation, our calling as Christians, is to share the gospel, to love and serve our neighbors as an expression of our love for God. And in whatever job or career, worldly vocation we might find ourselves in, we have an equal calling to share God's story. Now, Luther wrote this in contrast to what the Roman Catholic church was teaching at the time. Their concept of a Christian vocation was limited to those who were directly working to support the mission and ministry of the church. For them, those who are called into ministry are thought to have a vocation and a responsibility for sharing the gospel. But for Luther held up this concept of the priesthood of all believers, explaining that all of us as Christians become priests, and as such, we have a responsibility to read God's word, to become familiar with God's word, and to share God's word. It's why Luther spent so much time and energy translating the Bible from Hebrew and Greek, the biblical languages, into German, so that all of the church, all of the German-speaking church, everybody could read, those who could read it for themselves without having to rely upon the priests to do the translation and interpretation for them. Regardless of our job status or vocation as Christians, according to Stephen's story and to Luther's theology, we are all to share the gospel, to tell our stories. As we continue to read Stephen's story, we read that he spoke with wisdom and the Spirit in a way that the Jewish leaders could not withstand. He was a great teller of the story. His sermon in response to the allegations against him. We skipped over 40 verses, thankfully. And still, we could tell how well he spoke and defended the gospel. So the Jewish authorities brought false and blasphemous charges against him to the Sanhedrin, much like the Jewish leaders had done with Jesus. It's to them that he gave this comprehensive sermon defending not just himself, but defending the gospel, defending the ministry of Jesus. And as a result, Stephen was sentenced to death. Stoned to death for what he said, because they didn't have another response against him. Sound familiar? I hope so. If it doesn't sound familiar, hopefully when you isolate the words that Stephen prayed and reflect upon what our gospel reading was this morning, it'll trigger a memory. For he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," as he was being stoned to death. And then, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Nearly exactly the words that Jesus prayed upon the cross. For you see, Stephen's story is like Jesus' story, and it too needs to be told. Not to scare us from sharing our stories about how God's story has impacted our story, but to help us see that as followers of Jesus, we too have a call to share the story. I can confidently say, with near certainty, nobody in this room is going to be stoned for sharing your story. Maybe hurt emotionally, hopefully not hurt physically. We are called, like Stephen, to share our stories, to tell others as Cherie did last Sunday, as Shane did in the Hump Day Hallelujah this past Wednesday. For we all have a story to tell, a vocation to fill, no matter what you did, are doing, or will do to make a living. You have a vocation as a follower of Jesus Christ, and that is to share the good news of God's love that you have received and to tell others that story. So let us tell our stories that others might have a story to tell. Amen.